band by the band. This is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a bumper bank holiday edition of Non-League's finest insight and chat. Back in the studio and back in the company of Non-League's biggest name. Joining me this afternoon, the Madame of Non-League, giving us all in check as ever, Miss Caroline Barker.
Yeah. Do you know? I was talking to Premier League Football today.
Oh, here we go.
And just because you said Madame, and someone said to me, have you ever heard of the honeypot?
Yeah, wait till of a whole mouthful of drink before you tell us that one.
For those that don't know, maybe the second ever show we did on the BBC when Dave Watters, God rest his soul, he is still alive, but he very nearly wasn't, apparently. I'm not laughing at that. But he's all right. Yeah. Who at the time was editor of the Non-League paper. The second show we'd ever done on the BBC, we had on, at the time, Maidenhead United, oldest continuously used ground.
Yes.
I've turned Siri on because I was shouting so loud because we were laughing. They did some tie-up with, was it Dutch royalty or was it some sort of royalty? We had the prince of somewhere on.
That's right, yeah.
And it might well have been.
He asked him, man.
And he said, and first of all, he said, your royal worshipness to him, didn't he? Good evening, your royal worshipness. At Maidenhead United, it's always good for away fans. Have you ever been to... There's a little club on the corner called the Honeypot, at which stage we're all trying to backpedal out the studio. Don't mention the strip club! Anyway, sorry.
And he's like, you know, you're making all them faces to him. Yeah. You're like, you know, your hand across his throat. Like, and he's just looking at you as if
like,
what? It's a strip club!
And afterwards he said, well, I did call him your Royal Highness Worshipness. Oh, that's all right then. Talk to him about a strip club.
Yes.
Anyway.
I do remember.
Good.
Madame.
Sorry, Tim.
Oh, no. It's a tale to be retold.
Yes.
It's a tale that we should probably get Mr. Watters back on to tell, because it'll probably take at least 25 minutes for him to remember.
And he is back with the non-league paper now.
Back in the fold. So, it's a welcome to I might need a drink now. So welcome to Caroline. And the team wouldn't be complete without the quiet voice of our managerial expert, the now retired Mr. Dave Anderson.
I like the word expert there. There's lots of lies there.
The word retired. Yeah, okay.
There's lots of people like that one, retired. How are you?
I'm good. I've been... The season at Hazen Yeddings not quite been the same as last season. A few games of two halves. It's looking promising. New signings. And yeah, we're creating chances. We just can't put them away and then making silly mistakes. So.
Someone sounds like he's on the board.
I've become more positive post-match.
Good. I went to watch Chertsey at Uxbridge on Saturday and it was good just watching a lot of the lads up a level with obviously new signings and being able to shout at referees and them not being able to do anything. It was great, you know. But
did you offer any referees your glasses?
No? Yeah, my empty glasses,
yeah,
in the bar.
Exactly.
But no, but I have to say I was really impressed with the game. I was impressed with the referee most of the times, which is fair enough. And the condition of the surface and that's all, it's all good. You definitely know you're up a level, you know, and I think they'll do okay.
Talking of upper level, did you know that we've ordered the promotion winning bus top tour at Chelmsford? Yeah. Bus top tour? Yeah, because we signed Robbie Simpson. You know, he formerly of quite a few clubs
quite
in the football
clubs.
League.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah, yeah. So we're now going to win everything, apparently.
Absolutely. Well,
still haven't got a decent centre-half, but don't let that bother you. we'll score more than you.
Have you just ordered the top part of the bus?
Well, yeah, just the top.
Listen, I've got a number. I was on one last year, you know what I'm saying?
I think you showed me the video.
Two.
Yeah. Oh, there's plenty to chat about. And something that David raised during the week is obviously this... social media thing that Phil Neville's flagged up. You know, does football need to step away from social media? Now, there's abuse obviously being discussed for top-level pros, and I'm sure Caroline's got plenty of insight into that, the guys that she deals with. But it goes on at non-league level too. And the thing about non-league, you haven't got that same support network that you have as a pro club.
No, you don't. It depends how you take it. I mean, I've always tried to take it as it's not real, you know, that... I think the guy who's on the social media site isn't really Dave Anderson, he's the other guy. So I try and look at it that way. So whatever you fire at me, so what, you know, crack on. But I think that there's another line to it where, you know, when it gets personal and people are hiding behind sort of handles. And there's two things to think about. If you're going to go into that social media situation, which, to be fair, if I'm doing it, the whole world's doing it. You know what I mean? It's like at my age, then everybody wants to do it. But so you can either give it up and not be involved in it, you know, because I can't see there being a quick fix for it. I really can't, you know.
I don't know whether... none of us have suffered abuse by racist abuse. I don't think any of us have suffered homophobic abuse that I know of. But both those are illegal, right?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
So
yes, yeah.
Ultimately, you said, is it different for a non-league football level? It should be reported to the police. Again, is, well, what's the comeback? There are IP addresses. That has to be the area which, I know, Stan Collymore previously has gone through a couple of prosecutions against a couple of people for abuse that he's had on social media. And that has to be the way. And that's where there needs to be support. So it's about the police treating anyone, regardless of the football club they're at, level of the football club they're at, anyone in society, you know, doesn't have to be involved in football. Racist abuse is racist abuse. Yeah. Homophobic abuse is homophobic abuse. And that's where it's got to be tougher. So, yeah, it's got to be... Do we all say that the only social media sites we want to be on are the ones where we have to hand over our passport details to get on it? Are you going to cut down then financially because you're going to have a load of accounts that aren't then verified? So suddenly all these big businesses that have got 1.2 million followers are going to have 500,000 followers or whatever it might be. Yeah. So we have to decide as a society whether we all want to buy into it. Now, the argument I've heard several times on the radio is about whether we want to be part of Big Brother. The same argument was brought up about CCTV. Well, if we've not done anything wrong, then we don't mind having CCTV everywhere. Well, if we've not done anything wrong, then we don't mind having our passport details everywhere. Big Brother is watching us. We have to decide which way we want to go.
There is another way, the way that I quite like. Do you remember, was it Curtis Woodhouse? Was it the... Do you remember the footballer boxer who ripped me to pieces on the show? Do you remember?
He did, yeah.
Do you remember the...
Well, invite him back on again soon.
Yeah. I'll get him on. That was the best day of my life. It was so funny. Do you remember the guy who sort of gave him abuse and he turned up in his street? Do you not remember this?
No.
I'm sure it was on Twitter. People sort of correct me, but someone had given him...
Hello, Siri.
Do you hear what it said? Do you hear what it said? Because it was me. I don't understand. Yes, sorry, you and half of Britain. And he'd been sort of getting sort of abuse off this guy on, I'm sure it was Twitter, and he somehow found out where the guy lived and just took a photo of the street and says, I'm outside, come and see me. And the guy's like, I'm really sorry.
You wouldn't say it to someone's face.
No, and listen, I'm trying to make sort of light work of something that isn't. But I agree with everything you've said legally. I don't condone it. I think it's awful. I think maybe my view of it is old school, where I just sort of ignore all of it. That's not to say that my way is the right way.
But it's tough, Dave. If you've gone through your whole life facing racist abuse, there is a point.
I'm not condoning it. I'm saying that different people deal with it in different ways. No. I just try and bang the table every now and again and move
and
on.
And get Siri to talk. There needs to be education on all levels on social media use, and that needs to start from when you're a kid as well. People hide behind... Same way we see it aggressively behind their steering wheels. Someone stopped, knocked on my window and said, why are you going so slowly today? I said, because it's a 20-mile now. Oh, right. Yeah.
Did that go, are you that bird off the telly?
Did not say, officer, please calm down.
Oh, dear. Not bad.
So 5 games in with 1 win, 2 draws and 2 defeats. It's certainly been a learning curve for our next guest, managing his side in non-league after relegation from the football. National League last term. It's been a long, hard summer for Neil Ardley, manager of Notts County, but I'm pleased to welcome him to the Non-League Football Show. Good afternoon, Neil.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Yeah, very well, mate.
How are you?
We're very well. Now, I say it's been a hard summer. For those that don't know, you inherited a side, a club with a fantastic history, but there was certainly some turmoil going on there. At the end of the season, I think you lost your best players because they went out of contract. Others that were contracted didn't quite fit in with your plans and you were stuck with them. There was a transfer embargo and then a change of ownership looming.
Don't make him hang up, Tim.
but you stuck at it. You're still there and you've come through the other side.
Well, I don't need your answer. You just reeled it. you're very, very well informed, very accurate. Yeah, it was tough. We did what you usually do in the summer. We drew up lists of potential players we'd like to sign, players that we thought Notts County would need in this league, and then sort of watched as that list one by one. Signed for other clubs because you couldn't do your business. So that bit was tough. I think there was a moment where we got an extension to our HMRC case that was the moment where I was probably at my lowest ebb during the summer because I knew at that point that I'd lose another three or four players off my list that I thought would be good for us. It was tough. And then obviously we got to the first week of the season. We only really had 13 outfield players available for the first game, and a lot of them were young. And then the new owners thankfully came in, and since then it's been trying to cram a whole summer's worth of work into 2 weeks.
What stopped you walking away, Neil, at that really low point?
To be honest with you, it wasn't something I thought about doing because I came in December last season to try and help keep them up. There was a lot more to the club that was wrong with the club that made the job almost impossible. I failed to do what I wanted to do, and I didn't really want to be the manager that took Notts County down and then cleared off. I wanted to have an opportunity and a chance to turn it around and be there when the fans were celebrating success and be part of that. And, you know, it's easy to jump because things aren't going your way, but this is a challenge and a long road back, and I wanted to be part of it.
And Arge, what's it? You know, obviously, you talked about watching all your summer signings sort of disappear, which was on your head. And but what's it like now? And you know, but it's probably a two-part question. What's it like now? Sort of 8 or 10 weeks behind everyone, and what's expected of you now, or what do you expect of your squad now?
It's good now, as in, you know, we've got some good players in the door, which I don't feel I've had enough of ever since I've been here. The squad's competitive now. There's a lot of know-how and experience. We've managed to bring the type in that I think we needed for the league that we probably didn't have last season that cost us relegation. We wasn't physically strong enough and big enough. So we've done all that. So in that respect, I feel a lot more confident we'll be able to handle the league. But obviously, we're now trying to get that team bedded together, try and get a little bit of know-how in there, get used to the league, the standard, and do it all whilst learning on the job, and hence 1-1 drawn 2, Goss 2, and a little bit inconsistent. But obviously it's great that we're in this position because we were very, very close to, you know, having a 12-point deduction if the new owners hadn't come in.
Yeah, and just secondly, you know, you might, you know, I'm not going to say you're going to have to spend a whole year now because you've missed them 10, 12 weeks, but it must knock back your expectations of what you want to get out of the squad or what's expected out of you for a season.
Yeah, to be honest with you, it's difficult. I don't know what my expectations are because I've only just been able to piece the squad together. Yeah. So at the moment, I think I'll be more confident and have a bit more belief when I can see us week in, week out, handle different types of game and come out the other side with a positive result, you know.
Yeah.
We played well in the last two games and picked up 4 points. I'd like to see us play well and do the same against Ebbsfleet and Solihull Moors over the course of the coming weeks. And then I might get a little bit more belief that maybe we can challenge at the top end. I think what the owners' beliefs will be, I think they're very down-to-earth guys that respect the league. So I think they want us to be progressing, but maybe don't expect us to go and be the champions as many might. The fans, well, I think our fans are quite good with what we've been through. I think they appreciate that they've got a club. But as you well know, if you don't win games of football on a regular basis, that soon changes.
I think it does buy you a bit more time, though. And both you'll know this too, Dave, from being at AFC Wimbledon. And now what you've gone through at Notts County, Neil, if you are just open and honest with the fans and tell them what's going on, I mean, we'd all hate to be Bury fans at the moment. Yeah. As we sit here, who knows what's going to happen to them? Bolton and what's happening to them as well, Neil. Can you give any kind of perspective for fans of those clubs, your own fans when you were sat there, as a manager, what it's like sat in that position thinking, I don't know what's happening from day to day? Because ultimately, sometimes people forget it's your job too.
Yeah.
It's your livelihood on the line. It's your family waiting at home as well to know whether you're going to get a paycheck.
Yeah, I actually did an interview today that was very similar to that. You know, people ask a question about Bolton and Bury, and it is tough because, you know, I think the long and short of it is, you know, you have to look at the authorities and the fit and proper persons test. You know, there has to be some sort of tweaking of that because it's obviously not worked. No. People have got away with not doing their financial fair play, not doing it within the realms of what that club bring in, and they've ended up in the situation, certainly Bury and Bolton, worse than Notts County were. So they've got to get a bit stricter and tougher to make sure this doesn't happen, because like you said, the people that suffer are the people who don't get paid for 2 months, like Notts County and like Bury and Bolton, certainly for longer, their livelihoods, and obviously the people that have done a service for that club, and if it goes into administration, only get paid 10p in the pound for that service, they end up losing out. And then lastly, of course, the fans of them clubs who could potentially lose their clubs. It's, you know, that's got to stop, and that's got to start with the authorities, and things have got to change. But, you know, Bolton are still going, albeit with a young team, and they're going to have to, you know, reinvent themselves, and we all keep our fingers crossed for Bury tomorrow on a big day for them, that they come out the other side too.
Yeah, and it's something that the football world needs to address ourselves, really. You mentioned about those people that, you know, maybe get paid 10p in the pound when they're a creditor and that sort of thing, but the whole business world begins to lose faith then with the world of football, doesn't it? And it becomes more difficult for certainly smaller clubs to bring in sponsorship and get other people interested in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it has a big spiralling effect. And, you know, the amount of money that's in our game now for these things to happen is awful. You know, so much money at the top. They just need to make sure that they do it right, and that all the leagues are regulated and done properly. And we can certainly get it back to how it should be, which is, you know, people having faith and loving football and investing in football.
You mentioned the new owners that have come in there at Notts County. Have you had much dealing with them on a day-to-day basis? Because they certainly have information on the world of football. I mean, is that something you can tap into?
They've been brilliant, to be fair. They haven't been in regularly. They've got their own sort of business interests as well. But we've got a guy called Richard Montague, who's one of their guys from Football Radar that's now on our board. And he's my sort of closest ally that I speak to regularly. But they've been really supportive, you know, really interested in everything. They're passionate about football, which is great. And they've got loads of questions about football, and they're very knowledgeable. So, you know, for me, it's quite refreshing, and you know, hopefully, it's something that will work really well, and we'll spend several years working together.
Yeah, and you also mentioned the fans earlier as well. It was good to see on the Sunday draw against Wrexham. You know, over 6,000 supporters there. The whole sort of town appears to be behind, or the whole city appears to be behind the club.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, both Nottingham Forest and Notts County, you know, we want both groups to have success. We want the whole city to do that. And hopefully that will happen. Our fans have been incredible through this tough time. And, you know, at Harrogate away last Tuesday night, they were right behind my dugout, and they didn't stop singing the whole game. So, I believe we can bring success to them. Whether we can do that straight away in year one, who knows? But I certainly believe that we can, and I hope I'm here to see their faces when it happens after what happened last season.
Yeah, Dave, you're used to fans singing behind your dugout, aren't you? But
yeah, you don't know you don't know what you're doing. It comes to mind.
You and me both. Neil, just finally, I appreciate you're really busy, but just a quick one on Ebbsfleet. I don't know if you've heard or read Gary Hill's comments about it, saying, although the table never lies, we aren't a team that's bottom of the table, and yet they are bottom of the table. Is that dangerous to go up against them this weekend?
I don't believe in that. When I look at teams and say they're bottom of the table, I think Gary is similar to us, put a lot of players together in a quick, short space of time. They're a big, very big, very big, strong, powerful outfit, and they're going to pick up results. I've watched some of their games.
And he's gone.
Told you it'd be a quick one. Yeah. But he's right. It's one of those things with Ebbsfleet. I think Gary Hill, he knows that league, doesn't he, Dave? He knows.
Yeah, you'd never back against him. You know, you look at the job he's did, every club he's been at, and I wasn't surprised when he went back in, but I would also be very surprised if he didn't have the finances to put together a side, because he's not a youngster. He's not going to take a chance, you know. I think to be fair to Neil Ardley, who's a top, I've got to know him through the Wimbledon thing. he's the same. He'll work hard. He'll be brilliant with supporters, because he is an open and honest sort of guy, and they couldn't wish for anyone better as a football club at the moment to make that link between the club and the fans, because he says how it is, you know.
No one wants to get relegated, but to come down, have a bit of a breather, sort yourself out. I wonder how much Barry would like to be in the situation where they could go have a bit of a breather for a season. Notts County, clearly, can still make a run.
With the bigger playoffs and, you know.
And I think the thing about, you know, like,
but the expectation, as he said, there is not there.
And that's, you know, and I think that the good thing is that's clever words as well, because it takes away from what's expected. But, you know, Ards and Neil Cox, who's his assistant, they're very experienced lads, and they've been through it. They've got promotion at Wimbledon. They know absolutely what they're doing with it. You know, I have to say, he's excellent on the karaoke as well.
did he know that was the next question?
What was
his song?
A Vis Vision of coming back from Cheltenham. It may have been going, but it was on a bus to Cheltenham or coming back.
Did it happen?
On
the bus to Cheltenham, he was singing karaoke.
And we had a sing song. It was on the way back, I think.
Just point out, this was to the races. They weren't going to a game.
I never seen a horse. But
see you coming.
But I just have this vision of the sing song on the way back, and it was instigated by Arge. He got music from somewhere off his phone or something with the best sing song ever. So I wish him only the best. He's a top lad.
There is a brilliant use of social media. If you can find that video, feel free to put it up. I saw Chelmsford's old striker Chris Dixon singing on that there internet.
Yeah.
It was on Twitter this week. He's got a good voice as well. So
a few footballers would surprise you. I'm not one of them, by the way.
I've heard you sing Sweet Caroline, I get every time. He's had one too many.
So our next guest is also a manager, but a manager in waiting. After taking Willstone to the brink of the National South final last season, he left abruptly in May, with the club quoting non-football reasons for his departure. Where's he been since, and what's he been up to? Let's find out. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Bobby Wilkinson.
Hello, how is everyone? Hope everyone's all right.
Hiya, Bobby.
All good, Bobby.
The sun's shining. Now, let's start with that playoff semi-final at Woking. You were the underdogs, and then you find yourselves two up before losing to a late goal. How devastating was that?
Well, put it this way, I got over it, but you've just reminded me.
I'm good like that. You can hire me for weddings.
I was thinking that when he was halfway through it, Bobby, I was thinking that. I was going, he's just good over the therapy.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not all about me, Bobby, but that then made me think about Chelmsford losing as well. Let's all laugh at each other.
You're right. It was a fantastic week to make it the way we got in there on the final day of the season, and then to beat Bath, and then to go to Woking and do what we did, to be 2-0 up with 40 minutes to play. But to go there with no goalkeeper, well, your number one goalkeeper and a couple of lads that were injured, it was still a great achievement, but we just ran out of legs with about 15 minutes to go, if I'm honest with you, and it was still heartbreaking now.
Yeah, and I suppose then we ought to then touch on that first week of May. So you've gone so close at Wealdstone, and then the National League website quoted you as saying, the board need to take over and keep this group together. I've got a year left on my contract, but they're going to have to match my ambitions. And I'm a serial winner, and hopefully we can keep this group together and keep fighting for another year. And we're all watching that from afar. And then there's a few days later, they're announcing all several new signings at the club. And then there was a bit of a blur and you disappeared.
Yeah, no, we parted company on great terms, to be honest. We parted company on great terms. I felt like I had achieved what I needed to achieve. A lot of people do know, I'm not sure if they actually do know, that my son was very ill near the end of last season and he had emergency surgery, and that got on top of me as well. So I thought it was time to maybe have a little bit of a break, if I'm going to be open and honest, it's the wrong decision, because I think me and my wife are going to end up divorcing if I hang around any longer, because I need to get back into work. But it was difficult times for me, to be honest, and Wealdstone were fantastic. I do disagree with non-footballing reasons. That's why they changed the statement about an hour later. But if my son is non-footballing reasons, I can understand why they put that.
Is he all right? How is he?
Yes, he's fine. He had emergency surgery. He got something in his eye and he got an infection under his eye and it went towards the brain. So oh, wow. That to put a tube. That happened a couple of months before, but he was still getting over it. So he's fine now. He went back to the hospital a month ago and then 5 weeks ago, and they've done all the clear now and he's good to go. So oh. I'm happy again. I'm back refreshed, ready to go back to work.
Glad to hear it. Glad to hear it on both
Thank you
accounts.
So much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
How do you judge then going back in? Because obviously my team are still in the National South with Wealdstone. Both teams would not like to still be in there, but we are. And they're top of the table. So clearly they've sort of moved on. And I don't know whether you keep half an eye on them and you think too, right, what do I want to achieve? Do I want to be higher than that? Can I go in higher than that? What sort of job level do you want to go to now?
Well, we've had a few people speak to me about a league above, and we've had a couple of clubs inquire and a couple in my league, but it just wasn't the right time. But now it is the right time. So I don't mind staying in the league I am or going to the one above, because everyone knows I want to manage in the league. So that's my ambition and I'm still well driven. But I've been in the game for nearly 15 years. I hadn't had a pre-season off. So this has been my first one, and I found it quite difficult, to be honest. I didn't think I would. But to be honest, I'm ready now to take any job that, you know, is prepared to have a little bit of success, if that's what they want. If I've got to take a team bottom of the league and get them into safety or something like that, I look at it, long as they've got some ambition. That's all I ask, really. But I'm not gonna say yes or no to anyone until you've had a good chat with them, and just hopefully we can all move forward together. But I am missing it, really missing it.
Yeah, and I suppose, Bobby, you know, what comes across there as a manager is state of mind. You know, your state of mind as a manager has to be crystal clear and solid. And if you're dealing with this stuff with your family and your son, then that can, you know, the two don't go together. But so. Your mind's clear. You're ready to go back in. My question is that how long do you hold out? You say you want to manage at the level you're at, and we all sort of want to do that. But realistically, if someone comes in for them the division below, and it's a reasonable offer, do you think about that, or do you hold off? What's your, because the next job now I think is going to be near Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. If a team come a league below, yes, you have to consider it. I think you've got to consider any job that you get offered when you're out of work. Yeah. It's just bizarre, isn't it, that you've been out of the, I've only been out of the job now, you know, 2 months, 3 months, and you think we've had leagues above that wanting to speak to us less than a month ago, 2 months ago. Yeah. So if your CV hasn't changed, you know, what I achieved at Hungerford, then what, you know, I'm very proud of what I achieved at Wealdstone. I don't think your CV can ever lie. So, but you don't want to be out the game too long, because that is a problem in football when you're out of game too long. That's why I think I must have watched about 30 games in the last 3 weeks since the season started. You know, so Yeah, I will consider it. I don't, I will never say never. So I will speak to anyone when one comes up. But it's just such a ruthless sport, isn't it? Because you got a lot of friends in the game, and you want them to do well, but you need them to do bad to get a job.
To get a job, yeah.
So, you know, so I found that very difficult. I wouldn't lie to you, you know, because you don't want to see anyone be out of work. But I know how ruthless it is, and now I'm ready to, you know, step up to the challenge. And, you know, what's that, 6 or 7 playoff spots I've had out the last 10 years. So that on my CV just speaks for itself. If there's a chairman out there or a club that wants success or, you know, need to get stable again, me and my management team were the right team, hopefully, to go in and help them out.
Yeah, listen, I wish you well. I'm going to make this statement, though. Every time I turn up at a game now, people are going to go, "Oh, Big Dave, great to see you." When Bobby turns up, they'll be going, "What's he doing here?" But I wish you well.
You know, I've already had that. I've had that a couple of times already. I appreciate it. I really appreciate it.
I was going to say, Bobby, you say you've been to many a game this season. Do you go, are you making coaching notes, or, you know, potentially for clubs that you might be coming up against? Are you detailing players, or are you just going and enjoying going to watch a game of football nowadays?
No, never enjoy it. Can't enjoy it. I'm going there, I'm watching players, I'm studying people's warm-ups, I'm studying what the club's like, but I'm looking for players, because if you go into a job, you want to know which best players are out there, young talent, what, you know, and you want to be one step ahead of everyone else when you go back into a job.
Go on then, who's the best player in the National South at the
moment?
He's
not going to tell you that, is he?
any centre-halves you can send chances to?
I can't tell you that, because I know Roddy will be listening to this.
Rod the God, I think is his full name.
But no, I'm just, I can't enjoy the games at the moment because I'm so desperate to get back into the dugout. But I am enjoying watching players and knowing what's going to be about. And, you know, we've already pinpointed 10, 15 players that, you know, if they come available, youngsters that you could afford and stuff like that, depending what league you're in, we're going to be one step ahead and ready to go.
You mentioned your management team. Does that mean that that whatever role you take has got to be, you know, you as a group together? Because sometimes that's difficult going into a new club.
Yeah, well, my management team have always followed me. That's why we've been very successful. But, for instance, my goalkeeping coach now, he's gone into somewhere. My physio's gone into somewhere. So it's just me and my assistant and coach. But I think that comes back to, you know, when you sit down and speak to a club, if they only wanted you to bring in one, then you have to look at that situation as well. So I wouldn't say you have to take everyone. I would like to, but now we're in a different proposition, if you know what I mean. We're out of work, so I have to then by what the new club and chairman and that want when you go and speak to them.
And you mentioned that you're happy to go in once you find that right project. But say we get 6 months down the line, and you say you go to watch football, you're not necessarily enjoying the game of football. Could you fall out of love with the game if no one's come in and given you the opportunity?
No, I never fall out of love with the game. It's my passion. I'm too driven to fall out, and I'm not going to stop until I succeed. It's just hard being out of it when you know you're a good manager and you succeeded quite a lot in the game. So if I'm still waiting in 6 months' time, it won't be because I don't want to work. It's because something hasn't come along that, you know, we're happy with, or that someone hasn't been sacked, I'm afraid to say. So I just don't know how long. I think that's the hardest thing for us managers. You don't know. You know, I met Gary Waddock for a couple of coffees over the summer. He's gone to Southend now, and he was telling me how difficult it was for him when he left Aldershot. You know, and I've met a few people, and we're all in the same boat. You just got to hopefully, and touch wood and cross your fingers, a job comes up.
Yeah, and like Gary, you say that you want to get involved and go higher at the league. What if there was a league position, but you as an assistant, would that be a potential role for you?
Yeah, I would look at that, because it means I can learn a little bit more, study a little bit more. I wouldn't have a problem with that as well. You know, so I've gone into a lot of pro clubs and been watching the under 23s and stuff like that as well. So I will never say never, but I would like to stay a manager. But like, I know Gary would want to stay a manager, but we as football people, we just want to work and we want to do what we love and what our passion is. So I'll never say never. So yeah, I would consider that as well, if I'm honest with you.
I did that a couple of times. I went and worked at with Steve Bateman as an assistant, and Simon Lane at Windsor. Just, you know, they sort of says, "Look, come in if you're not doing anything." And I actually really enjoyed it. I found it, it's the assistant manager's job's the job to have, if I'm honest. It's brilliant. But it's just a good way of seeing other people work. So I wouldn't rule that out, Bobby, if I was you, if I'm honest. You know, it has to be right for you. Yeah. But I always found it, it was nice to have a different slant on it for a while, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I would never rule it out. I think why it's hard one for me is because I've been managing now nearly 15 years, and we as a management team, we've never been sacked. And I have to make that very clear. I shook hands with Will Stone. Mm. I decided to leave. You know, I had a year left on my contract. I decided to leave. So, you know, our record speaks for itself why we should hopefully get another job. But it's going to be what it is. But if it comes along and no jobs come along, that one is the only one that comes along, I will consider it.
And obviously, week in, week out, when you're a manager, you've always got the fans that think that they can manage better. Have you been, you know, following their lead and playing football manager on your phone in the weeks off? Are you picking up some tips like that?
No, I'll be honest, I haven't. I've just been going around watching games, watching lots of training sessions, trying to be better. No, I haven't done that. Every fan has their opinion, and you know, I was very lucky. I worked with great fans. They're like Wildstone. I can only speak highly. I'm really pleased with what they're doing. You know, I'm pleased what I did there, and I'm pleased what they're doing at Wildstone now. They've started fantastic, and hopefully it will continue. But we're all on our own little journeys now, aren't we? So. Yeah. You know, that side of it, no, I'm just going to keep my own self to myself on that one and not have no opinions, just wait.
Well, Bobby, we wish you well on your journey, and hopefully when you pull into the next station at the next club, we can have another chat. But until then, good luck.
Yeah, good luck, Bob.
Can't
good
thank
luck,
you enough. Bobby. Thank you very much, the three of you. Really appreciate it. Thanks very much, everyone.
Take care.
Have thank a you. Lovely weekend.
And I'm always available with the Magic Sponge, you know, as part of the coaching team.
I had this description.
You could be goalkeeper coach.
International goalkeeper.
Sorry, international goalkeeper coach.
So some will be dreaming of sunshine this bank holiday weekend. Others, including our next guest, will be dreaming of Wembley glory. Yes, it's back. The FA Cup reaches the preliminary round, and I was able to say it without tripping over it, this weekend. It's 184 winners from the extra preliminary round. Can you put that in there? And they're joined by clubs from Step 4 and some from Step 3 as the Cup excitement gathers even more momentum. And there is only one man for the stats, the facts and the insight into the FA Cup. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show at FA Cup Fact File, Mr. Phil Annetts.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody.
You could sound a bit more excited about it, Phil.
I am excited. Yeah. And I'm actually going to Wembley, as it happens.
Really?
I have to be careful not to be just hoping for Wembley glory.
Well, I was going to say,
partial.
There is another of our troop who's been to Wembley and won something.
I haven't mentioned it until now.
We're hopefully going to talk Wembley a bit later, aren't we, Tim?
We are indeed. Hopefully. But, well, he's sort of... why don't we start with Wembley then, Phil? How did that come about?
Yeah, so I put out a Twitter vote for which match I should go to on Saturday, including one game on it that happens to be on Sunday, so I've got oversight on my part there. And all the votes came through, and Wembley versus Berkhamsted Town is where I'm now going to go off to.
Well, we'll be talking to the chairman of Wembley a little bit later on in the show, so I'll get some insight into, you know, the best burger to buy or where you should stand for the best view. Dave, you've probably been to Wembley more recently than me. Not that Wembley, but I always remember Wembley used to have a great selection of old grass cutting machinery.
Yeah, it used to be tucked away. It's actually very close to me. I'm just looking at it because. And I have to check this, but if Ian Bates is still the manager of Wembley, I know both managers well then. Steve Bateman, we were talking about a couple of minutes ago, was at Berkhamsted. I think I was even debating I might even turn up and buy you a beer, you know. So
do you need a bouncer, Phil?
Phil, do you need someone to buy you a beer? Sorry.
Yeah, I do need a bouncer, and I suppose that Dave hasn't strayed too far from Wembley.
Oh, which are the other glory ties then of the round?
Well, I have put out there a stat of the round, which is the tie between Bridgewater Town and Brislington.
Oh, go on.
One side would be more happy with it than the other. So we have to go back to the 1997 preliminary round, where the draw was Bridgewater versus Brislington, and the match ended 1-0 to the home side, Bridgewater. And then in 2014, the preliminary round draw put the two sides together again at Bridgewater, another 1-0 home win. 2017-18 preliminary round draw. Yep, it's Bridgewater Town versus Brislington, and you guessed it, 1-0 to Bridgewater Town. So they're meeting again for the fourth time. I think you should put your mortgage on a 1-0 home win.
I'm going to go 4-0 and put Dave's mortgage on it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know I love a stat, I do. But there's the BBC again are covering a game, aren't they? Heather St John's against Worcester City. That's their one. Anything about that one you can tell us?
Well, we know that they've chosen it probably because of the name of Worcester City. The two teams have obviously never met in the FA Cup before, but interestingly now play at the same level. But I bet there'll be at least 50 mentions of the Liverpool game within the commentary.
And Dave's favourite, Dave, is?
My favourite game is VCD versus AFC Oakfield Town. I had to be careful I said that, because obviously it's our old mate.
At VCD?
Yes. Keith. Isn't it?
Yeah, Keith...
Keith McMahon.
And Uckfield Town, of course, the team that beat Welling Town, who were our FA Cup last time out. So it was a good game to follow.
I've proper come out with a sentence there because Kaz was trying to nail me to the wall, and I've got her because I had an answer.
Sorry, Phil. Sorry, forget there's a professional on the line.
Well, you know, that tie VCD versus AFC, a lot of letters in names. One of the interesting things about some of the ties this time around are how teams are playing clubs who begin with a letter they've faced before, despite having played in the competition for a long time.
You're breaking up a bit, but you're saying teams that are facing a team that begin with a letter they've never faced before?
Exactly. So.
Oh, my God, there's a stat.
Have you worked out? I mean,
I can't even work out the question that would give you that answer.
Please tell me you ran that through a computer to find that answer.
So we've got Frickley Athletic who are playing Tadcaster Albion in their 99th FA Cup campaign, and they've never played a team again with a letter T before.
Oh, of course! I mean, do you know, almost exciting this is the missing words that are coming from the because I still hope, even though you're breaking up, Phil, that what you're saying is as logical as in what you're saying. In other words, it's a masterpiece.
Absolutely.
Brilliant.
Absolutely. Well, great start.
We have a couple of teams, Paddy Hammond and Moulton, the second version of the team names, but neither of those two teams have played respectively a team beginning with M or a team beginning with L.
So that's
in both formats.
Paddy Hum against Marine, if anybody...
You provide the subtitles.
I'm the little signing man in the corner there. Just 320 teams that you've had to feature this weekend then, Phil. So how long does it take you to prepare these stats?
It takes a long time, and you can imagine a lot of games. But I'm more worried about the next round preparations, if I'm being honest, because the FA have allowed teams to delay their replays for another week. And so there's going to be a lot of replays happening 2 or 3 days before the first qualifying round.
Oh, right.
And if there's a lot of replays, that's a lot of games I've got to try and get my head around in a very, very short space of time.
Not only uses his time up, but his data too.
you mentioned replays there, Phil, because I think there were, what's it, 37? Oh, I'm probably wrong with that. You'll probably tell me the right stat on that. But it's not seen as a modern thing, replay, but I always think an FA Cup replay, certainly in the early rounds, that's the proper magic, because you can get a club and bring them back to your ground and, you know, maybe get a better result and also get some more money out of them.
Well, there's that, but I think that for me, it's the tradition of the FA Cup as well. And then our point of the plays was to balance out the lack of fairness, I guess, of the draw, giving you an away game just by the luck of the draw. So give you a chance to get your team back at home to balance that out. I think it's a shame we don't have replays now later on in the competition. I think they're fantastic games. In fact, for me, being such a traditionist, I'd love to go back to the old days of multiple replays, but I don't think we're ever going to see those again.
You'd just be rewriting the same old stats, though.
Well, yeah, it'd be who's played the most times in the same season. Something new.
Now, something else, there's much been written and spoken over the years about the, and rules have been changed about non-league clubs switching venues for their ties. But there's a couple of switches been allowed this year. One, I think, because the pitch isn't ready at Barking, so they've switched it with Aveley. But then you've got Reading City against Moneyfields, and that's been moved to the away side's Hampshire ground due to the Reading Festival going on this weekend. That's proper non-league.
they hire out their grounds for festival goers, so they can't play a home game on that day. But I do know that they're not over happy with the outcome of having to play the game at Moneyfields, because I know that they put a lot of effort to transfer them to home ground, if you like. But in the end, Moneyfields have said that neither of the options that they put forward were good, so the game's going ahead at their place instead.
Well, Phil, your phone's breaking up so badly, so I think we better go and leave you to put it on charge, just in case Dave does buy you a beer at Wembley. Yeah. So he'll need to be able to find you. But thanks as ever for joining us on the show, Phil.
Cheers, mate.
And we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Take care, Phil. How do you even think of that stat? The one about the first time?
No, listen. Here's my theory on it. Mm. Is anybody ever going to check? Maybe he's just.
Maybe he's just
telling us nonsense.
This is non-league, Dave.
I know. I'm only joking because Phil will have it checked out. Phil will have it checked out.
It's everybody else checking.
Should we make one up?
Yeah, okay. Just to see.
Go on, pick a tie.
VCD versus AFC.
No, because we've done that one. We've got to go for another one. Okay. No, that sounds a bit. No. Let's go Tilbury against Stanway Rovers. Tie number 83. Right. Now, do you know Tilbury against Stanway Rovers is the first time that an 8-3 have appeared next to a TIL and an STA in the fixture list?
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Oh, is that the kind of stat you'd like to know?
Yeah, and I'd believe that.
Do you know what's more? He would never go and check it, would he?
No, no chance.
But how stunned are you going to be on social media this week when someone has checked it and tells you actually in 1983?
Do you know what? I won't be stunned at all because I blooming love non-league.
An interesting down my way down south that we had Scholing had
we had VCD.
but the creams weren't very well. So we in the last round, we had Scholing having an evening game, which seemed to work really well in getting people through the door.
Yeah.
So another local side, Blackfield and Langley, win a local derby with AFC Totten. Mm. That's the Sunday evening game. So if you're a proper groundhopper,
because
it's bank holiday weekend
yes,
as well,
yes.
You could be probably the greatest weekend for a groundhop.
And the other thing, we're joking our way around it, it's big money, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, for clubs now, it's massive.
And
it's
not half these clubs, but you think, we've all probably been to a number of these clubs I've done pre-season friendlies a lot of these. Witham Town, we've come across quite a lot. Chelmsford FC, Sudbury played quite a bit as well. There are names in here that I've loved going to their grounds before, and that's not a little pat on the head and well done you.
I'm
going to
take this home and tick how many I've been at.
Yeah, I thought you were going to tick how many you've managed.
Yeah. He hasn't got that long.
Yeah.
But Sittingbourne and Uxbridge, you know, there's some really good ties.
Yeah.
And there are some proper local ones in there. I know that's the point round this time too, but there's decent players, there's good fixtures, there's brilliant burgers. I've had a good burger at most of those, and it is well worth it.
Oh, it's
not
brilliant.
Expensive to get in.
It's the argument that I have all the time with lots of
yourself.
I always argue with myself. But the guys at mostly the golf club, because that's where I spend a lot of time, love their Premier League stuff, and I'm forever going, listen, you can go to any of these.
Yeah.
You can have a pint up until 2:45. Go, you get yourself a burger, watch wherever you want, then go into the bar and tell them what you thought of them, you know, which is. And I would say to anybody who who has nothing to do, pick a local game and go to it, especially the FA Cup.
Yeah.
And it still is the biggest competition in the world when it's at this sort of early round. You
and
know?
Financially, as you say, yes. What it means.
So it is a bumper show this weekend, and it's FA Cup weekend. So where next? Well, of course, as we've already mentioned, Wembley. Wembley FC, in fact, and Vale Farm, where Wembley take on Berkhamsted in this season's FA Cup preliminary round. I'm pleased to say, old friend of the show and chairman still at Wembley, Mr. Brian Gumm, joins us on the line to tell us more. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon.
Hiya, Brian.
And hiya, now, it is the magic of the FA Cup. It's sunny at the moment. You're an experienced hand at this FA Cup lark. But you still get the butterflies for games in this competition?
Well, after 30 years, if you don't get the butterflies, then you might well pack up. Yes, the adrenaline still flows. You like to win every game, obviously. But the FA Cup is a little bit special because of one thing, basically the money, which helps the clubs out no end.
Do you know, Brian, you took the question out of my mouth because I was just about to say it especially must have butterflies for a chairman because of the finances now and over the last couple of years where they've increased them substantially, you'd have to say. Maybe not as much as we all want, but at least they're going in the right direction. So maybe what does it mean? What would it mean to you to win financially? What does that help for you?
Well, it helps everything. I mean, you've still got electricity bills to pay, referees' fees. Nothing's coming down. Everything's coming up. The FA are obviously doing their bit, but not good enough for the way that the football's going now, especially non-league. The bars are not the same anymore. You can't take money over the bar like you used to. It's very hard work to get these young kids to get involved in the club these days. All the old volunteers now that we had at the club are either dying or don't leave the club because of ill health. And there's just no one coming through anymore. It's very hard work now. As anyone knows, like yourself, who's been involved with non-league.
Yeah.
What can you do about that, Brian?
There's loads of things we can do. But again, it all comes down to pounds, shillings and pence. Mm. It all costs money. We try our best. We run youth sides. We do this, we do that. But again, it's hard work. We've got the rules and the regulations now to run a youth side. And with all this, what's going on in the world, it's very hard. You know, with the youth, the day they can do what they like, basically. And it's just not work.
There was a bit this week on social media from the Boreham Wood chairman talking about attendances going down and how they were... Danny Hunter was talking about it, Dave, wasn't he? About how they're struggling as well to getting through. And that's at the National League level too.
So same sort of argument as Brian's coming up with, only at a different level, you know?
But, I mean, there has to be rules and regulations because of what we have seen, understandably. So how has the losers' money from the FA Cup, has that been a bit more of a sweetener? Obviously, you want to win the preliminary round. It's, what, nearly £3,000 for the win, but the losers get nearly £1,000 too.
Well,
it's
nice that everyone gets a little bit. I don't disagree with that because what's the point of entering it and you go out the first round and it costs you and you get the own draw?
Yeah.
As I say, you're not taking anything through the gate. You're putting a game of football on and it's costing you money. At least this way you have got some kind of reimbursement, which is a good idea. And I appreciate the FA looking into that and doing something about that. But the point is, it's not just it's football in general now. Everything is so expensive and it's not the same anymore. As I say, I've been in the game, this is my 31 years now at Wembley, and it's not the same. It's hard work and you lose a lot of, how can you put it? It's just hard work, basically.
You sound beaten by it, Brian.
Well, I'm not beaten by it because I wouldn't be here if I was. Mm. I'll never give up. We'll keep going to the end until they carry me out of the box. But the point is, what worries me is, mine's a family club. I've got Ian, who's my son-in-law, who runs the first team. My grandchildren have grown up. But what happened with these other clubs? We lost a good person this week in Graham Blint from Cockfosters.
Mm.
But how many people are going to start filling these shoes up? There's not going to be very many. And it's going to be a shame because without non-league football, where are these kids going to go? Mm. It's hard work. It's because it's so much politics now. And you can't do like you used to do in the olden days. It doesn't work.
you've got too many rules and regulations to follow. And then we've got, now we've got sin bins, and now we've got no swearing. It is, I don't know where football's going. We just keep on moving the goalposts to suit other people, but we're not getting down to the real facts. What these kids want, they want to play football at a high standard, and they want to be looked after, but you can't afford to do it. We can't afford to pay players, and we never have done for years. Some clubs are paying silly money, get the clubs in debt, then they go, and then they leave the clubs in financial difficulties. You know, I just don't see an end to it. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And the football, in my opinion, even at our level, is like Sunday level, and Sunday level is going down even further. So where's the end to it? I don't know. But the FA Cup, obviously, that's what you want to talk about. No one listened to me rambling on.
No. I think it's what you've said is important, because I think it's a whole show in itself. You know, we need to have address it. You know, with yourself, Donny Hunter, you know, different people making, and these are people who work hard for their clubs at different levels. And maybe it's something we need to do as a show. Is, you know, are we papering over the cracks by smiling and talking about one side of it?
It's funny, Danny. I was over at Borehamwood because their new stand for Arsenal women were there, and they were playing Barcelona. It was this showpiece, friendly. But for Danny still to be struggling, when you, on the surface, you'd think Arsenal's women are in there, the gate that they had there, beautiful, beautiful pitch. Yeah. They won Groundsman of the Year again this year, and they're struggling. Brian, is it maybe that clubs just need to reassess how far they want to go, what level they want to be at? I'm not saying remove promotion, relegation. I'm not saying that. But you just need to set, and not you necessarily, but clubs need to set realistically what they can achieve.
Can I just say something? If Danny's struggling, then God help us. Because Danny is a very clever man. He's done that club absolutely to perfection. He's been lucky with the people he's got in, with the Arsenal set up and his BTEC set up and his AstroTurfs. If I had half of that, I'd be lucky and I'd be well happy. Mm-hmm. I could survive. Danny's done really well. And if you say Danny said he's struggling, well, that don't say a lot for us. Because he's got it set up in a manner, which he's rightly so, because he works hard at what he does, but he's been very lucky with the clients that he's got as well. We don't get them kind of sponsors and things like that they get. We just don't get them. And they don't want to put, no one wants to put money into football anymore because there's no benefit from it. It's just, they just say, oh, it's like throwing your money down the well, which in respect, I suppose it is. But it's what pride you've got in your heart and what you see in your club. That's the difference. That's the way I look at it.
Well, we don't doubt the pride that you've got in your club and all the hard work that your family have done. Your family, you know, you've got Wembley written through you. Now, the last time we spoke to you, Brian, I think you were telling us about lawyers' letters suggesting a trademark infringement on the name Wembley. I've been asked many times how that all panned out. Are there any updates that you can give us on that?
Yes, we lost, as usual, which we didn't think we were going to win. Cost me £4,000 to fight it. The FA was really sweet about it when it all went to court. And then they were doing, oh, we'll do this for you, we'll do that for you if you give us the trademark, which I refused to because... out of principle, I know it wasn't, maybe it was a silly thing to do, but I feel that, okay, principle is what I done it on. I knew I wouldn't win because I can't beat the FA, I know that. They've got best lawyers. They had put it this way, they had a document which was, I think, 55 pages long. I had a document which was made up for £3,000, which was about 5 pages long. So what chance did I have? It took a whole year for me to fight it, 2 years basically to fight it. And we got a letter through to say we'd lost it. Simple as that. No ifs, no buts. You just lost it. We're giving it to Wembley. So what's the point? And then since then, and I'm not knocking Wembley at all, but since then, they've not been in contact with me. They've not done nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just dropped me. That's it. Like a lead blue, basically. So, though I've got respect for the FA in one respect, I lose a lot of respect when they say they're doing all this for grassroots football. What are they doing for grassroots football? I don't know, because they're looking at the wrong scenario towards, but what I think they are anyway, because they're not doing anything for not non-league football. They're just throwing money at it through these grants, which you've got to dot all the I's, cross all the T's, go backwards, go forwards, go sideways, do roundabouts, and then you get told, oh, no, you don't apply. So I don't see it. I just don't see where all this money comes from. Me, personally, if we have one club like Chelsea, QPR, Fulham, anyone what's local to us who gave us £200 a week, that would keep us going. But do we get it? No. But they're paying all these players silly, silly money, and we're their future. But, well, we're not no more, because our kids don't get a chance. And that's what's good about the FA Cup. We've got a very young side. Got some talented youth coming through. And maybe they will be picked up to go forward. Well, I hope so, anyway, because that's what it's all about, getting these kids what their dream, basically.
Well, it is all about the magic of the FA Cup this weekend, Brian. And you've got Burke Hampstead from step four, one level higher than you. Does that add to the cup excitement? So, you know, if you get a result out of it, is it?
Well, the only good thing is Burko used to be in our league. We have known Burko for years. We haven't seen him for years. So it'd be a good catch up with Keith and the chairman and everything else. But it's the FA Cup. I'm not saying we're not very lucky in the FA Cup, but all I know is we've got a very young side, and the FA Cup's all about on the day. It's who wants it and who doesn't want it. We were lucky to get through the last round. The boys fought hard, and the AFCA put up a good fight, and I thought they was going to win it in the end, but it comes to the crunch that the boys stepped up and we nicked the game.
A late goal in that replay there, yeah. Well, hopefully you could do the same on Saturday, Brian.
As I say, it's all on the day. You could be playing one of the top sides, you can be playing one of the bottom sides. And if they want it, and the best team, you don't have to be the best team, it's the luck of the draw. If you get the goal, if everyone stays on the pitch and someone else on the other side gets sent off, then it's a leveller. We don't know. But the FA Cup is a great competition because of that. It's on the day and anything can happen. Bad referee, good referee. Bad for us, maybe good for them. Don't know. But that's the way I look at it. And I take one game at a time now. We're not expecting much, but all I'm hoping to do is see these young kids prove themselves and show these guys what they can do.
Well, it is the FA Cup at the weekend, Brian, and it's all about the road to Wembley. And this weekend, it'll be Wembley against Burke Hampstead in the preliminary round, and we wish you well.
Good luck, Brian.
Yeah, thanks very much. We won't have to go far anyway. We'll get a minibus up to the ground if we get there. I hope we're playing Chelsea in the final, yeah. And we'll be all right. Anyway, brilliant. Thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, Brian.
And, good luck to everyone. Cheers.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much. Bye.
There's a man with 30 years experience in the non-league game, and maybe it's knocked something out of him.
I just think that obviously, I mean, the Wembley, the row he had with the stadium and the FA and that, I was always on his side, and I still am with it. But I think that what you got to see there is sometimes what it takes out of people who put so much into it. And you go, why do you do it, Brand? You know, but he's not like that all the time. He's just, you know.
From knowing what Wembley's like it is a proper family club. There's plenty of clubs up and down the country. Brian and his wife pretty much live there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Can he walk away?
No, it's in his DNA. I know Ian Bates well, as I've said before, and it's very local to me.
But it is that. Do you have to decide what level you want your club to be at? And yeah, it would be great if the Premier League do put money in.
Yes,
the FA do put money in, and the pyramid is why football is so successful in this.
Couldn't agree
in
more.
This country, yeah. It's absolutely that reason. But we've seen some clubs overstretch themselves, and you do have to think. My dad always says it. We should be doing better because of the crowd that we get through the gate. And then you do better and you get more through the gate. And you all know teams that are in a league that they're in when they've only got...
Yeah.
You know, that's not proportional. Yeah, it's difficult because the whole point we love football is we love to dream. I think
with Bran, the one thing you'd have to say is he's always kept his, he's never put his the club in jeopardy about sort of doing too much or going outside of what it is. So he understands what it is. But I'd just like him to enjoy it a bit more at the moment, you know. But I think he's made a great point, you know, and with Danny Hunter's statement during the week as well, that maybe it's a show we need to do. We need to. I wouldn't look forward to the show, but where is the next generation come? Not so much as players, because I notice it because he's been doing it 30 years. I've been around more or less that length of time myself. Started when I was 14, you know. but when I go back to grounds after years of being away from them, you still see the same person who's aged 15 years, but you don't see the new person. Do you know what I mean?
Worryingly, I'm still one of the youngest people that goes in a boardroom.
Yes, that would be worrying to him as well.
He was the youngest when he went in.
He was, yeah. But I think that there's... I don't know, what's the answer to that? How do you get people involved in that side of it?
Where possible, you got to get kids in for free.
Yeah.
And you have to create a form of entertainment, don't you? And I don't necessarily mean, because when we were young, we were kicking footballs on the terraces and weren't paying attention necessarily to what was going on the pitch, or we were consuming everything that was in the programme and we were buying sweets from the sweet store. Yeah. I was there because I wanted to be there because my older brothers were there and I wanted to talk about what they were talking about. And you have to create a form of entertainment and a day out.
And an allegiance is formed then.
You have to get that young. You have to get that young.
I don't know why you get into the schools, you get in the local area. I don't know. And all of this stuff takes time. It takes people. It does take money.
If you want to subsidise one thing over the other, but all I would say is you bring kids in, well, someone's got to come with them, so they'll be buying something, either a ticket or a burger or a pint or whatever it is.
Or all three.
You've got to make sure there's someone smiling and talking to them, giving them eye contact. It's all that customer service stuff. Yeah. You don't want to say bloody customer service in relation to football. Of course you don't want to say that. We're not customers, we're fans. But we become fans by falling in love with something.
Yes,
so absolutely. It's how do you make that attachment so early on that you don't want it ripped away from you.
And it's so personable as well. It's, you know, I keep sort of hammering the Premier League because you go and you're a number of... there's 70,000 people and you're one of them. You go to Wembley, you'll get to know the people. You'll get to know everyone on a fortnight by name. You know, the barman will know what you drink. The players will know your name.
But that's 70,000 people. If you go and watch Tottenham Hotspur, but you feel part of you're that collective noise, and you're being fed stories every day, and you're building that affiliation, and you're buying the shirt, and you're meeting your heroes, albeit through social media, and it might not be a real connection, but you're going and travelling Europe and you're experiencing... It's an experience. But you can experience something, you and three others, on a cold night, a Monday night under the lights, as we used to do at New Rittle Street. You can experience something too there and being in that moment and feeling part of something as much as you can. Yeah. But it's how...
how you sell it.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
So time to head on over to Non-League Paper Towers and welcome back to the Non-League Show at senior writer David Richardson.
Hi Jim, how are you?
I'm good. Another week over, quite a quiet week, but all the major leagues are now back and underway, and it seems like there never was a summer.
it's been quite a quick start, hasn't it, to the new season. A lot of fixtures sort of crammed in. Of course, we've had the FA Cup as well, the FA Vars is... getting underway next weekend too, so quite a lot going on. But I think this week it sort of maybe lulled a little bit. There was no National League in midweek. Obviously there was a few set of three and four fixtures, but it's been a little bit of a slow week really. Maybe come at a good time after a busy start.
Yeah, a slow week with the FA Cup upon us. You say the FA Vars next weekend, you know, bank holiday weekend. It's just a nice, quiet weekend ahead and a week ahead. But there's now stranger than some of the managerial comings and goings we've already had this season. And one I spotted was, is it Danny Dafter and his assistant Gary Hayward, who both resigned at Aveley this week, with Dafter quoted on the website as saying, "We never intended to get back into football. In hindsight, we shouldn't have agreed to take the job for the season." But I'm not sure who convinced who for that one, but that had not a bad start. I think they took over with 5 matches remaining at the end of last season after there was another shock departure. I think it was James Webster that went there. But then they went on to a storming run. They finished second place, lost in the playoffs to Heybridge. And I think the opening 2 matches, drawn both of those. So it's not a bad start. But now they're managerless, I guess, because they play on Friday night, I believe, in the FA Cup this weekend.
Yeah, it's a bit of a strange one. We've had some, like you say, strange sort of managerial departures so far this season, with Bradford, Park Avenue and Hereford, and now Averley have joined them, like you say, Danny Dafter and Gary Hayward resigning there. It is a bit of a strange one. I saw in their statement, they said, like you say, they never intended to get back into football, but when we agreed to take it on last season, in hindsight, we shouldn't have then agreed to take the job on for the season. So, a bit of a strange one, really. I can't imagine Craig Johnson's perhaps too chuffed with that. Like you say, it hasn't been a disastrous start with 2 draws. It is a bit of a strange one. It has sort of seemed to have left the club in the lurch a little bit.
Strange set of circumstances. But I mean, if you're a manager, and we've had a couple of managers on the show this week, one looking for a job. It's a great setup at Aveley, and that's sure to attract a host of applicants for the vacancy. But as you say, Craig Johnson, probably the last thing he was thinking at the end of August was he'd be looking for a new manager.
Yeah, obviously, particularly towards the end of last season as well. Like I said, them losing James Webster on their way to getting into the playoffs, and yeah, it is a club with ambition to try and reach the next level, to go on to step 3. Obviously, they've got a nice setup down there as well with the 3G pitch and a good nice sort of main clubhouse and a sort of bar area. For any managers who are out of work at the moment, it's clearly an attractive proposition.
But it's another one of those tales that we've already touched upon in the show earlier, and it's week in, week out at non-league. It's such a difficult thing to do, run a football club. So another thing this week, our old friend of the show, Danny Hunter, chairman at Boreham Wood, had a bit of a rant this week on their website after they only drew a crowd of 407 for their 1-0 home defeat to Sutton on Saturday. And there's Danny that's built a club. I mean, Danny's been involved at that club as long as I've been involved in non-league football, I'm sure. I mean, I remember talking to Danny last season or the season before about the, when I first went to Boreham Wood, there were these plans to build this big stand and, change, build academies and that sort of thing. And it looked like, so often you go into a boardroom at a club and it looked like a pipe dream. But he's managed to get it done. There's another new stand there. There's the academies all around. They won Groundsman of the Year again. So they seem to have all the ingredients, and certainly someone like Danny Hunter, certainly someone that wants to get things done are moving, but they just still can't attract the number of people through the door.
Yeah, it was an interesting interview on their website. I'd like to say that everything's sort of there as you would probably expect from a National League side in terms of the ground and the improvements that they've made. The quality that they have on the pitch, of course, it was only not too long ago that they were 90 minutes away from reaching the Football League at Wembley in the playoff final. And they've got a young, promising manager in Luke Garrard and some really good players there too. But the big problem that the club has had over a long time, really, is that, they don't get the crowds in. And I think sort of the breaking point or maybe close to the breaking point last weekend was a crowd of just over 400 at home to Sutton. I think they said in the interview that was up with 130 away fans too. Which clearly is very sort of demoralising for Danny Hunter, really, given the amount of time and money that he's put into the club. They do a lot of schemes to try and get people in or offers and things like that. They had a £99 season ticket offer, I think, towards the end of last season to get people in for this year. But I think one of the problems that they have is, to turn up on the day to go to a game on the day, it's £20 for an adult, which is a lot of money for football at this level. And I think clubs in the National League, it is generally around sort of the £18 mark for entry, and I think sort of if you start going over that, it does become very difficult to attract people, but particularly floating fans who would want to see a game. Another issue and something that's been going on for quite a while is making press and local media have to pay to get into the ground to cover games, and that has led to its issues. Obviously, with Bournemouth's local media, in that effectively they don't get any coverage in the local area. So how would people know about the club? Unless the club were putting things out, posters, stuff like that around the place to try and get people in. So I think that's another issue as well. But again, it must be, reading that interview, you can tell how frustrating it must be for Danny Hunter, really, given, like I said, the amount of time and money that he's put into the club.
Yeah, but it's that age-old debate, isn't it? I'm involved in a club, but we're not blessed with fans. But what we are trying to do is make sure that the club runs sustainably as a business, so that it keeps going long term, so that we can then maybe bring in some other schemes for fans that will help accommodate fans and make it an experience a day out. And in a way, that's what Bournemouth have done, isn't it? They've created the structure around and then hoping that the fans will come in. But there needs to be that other element. But then maybe, maybe we just need to embrace the fact that it's non-league. I was looking as well, there was a 7-goal thriller last weekend in the Southern Premier South. Blackfield and Langley scored 3 goals. Metropolitan Police scored 4. But the official crowd for that one was only 64 people. A Step 3 game. The same day in the same division, you've got Salisbury-Dorchester, a bit of a local derby, and there were 632 there. So is it just a sign of the times, or is it just, does it just celebrate the actual mix of what phrase village clubs? And I don't think anybody involved at Blackfield and Langley could say that they're anything other, because it's a lovely village in the New Forest. It's very small population around, so even 67 there, I guess, or 64 is a high percentage of the local population. But should we actually just embrace the fact that this is non-league and it gives everybody an opportunity to play football?
Yeah, I think I see your point, Tim, in that obviously across non-league there's clubs of different sizes and different areas where there's quite literally sort of more people in a town or a city and things like that. I just sort of feel with Bournemouth, you look at the likes of Salford, who have gone up through the leagues, but they've made the club as accessible as possible for people in terms of the pricing. And ultimately, if people can get into some sort of entertainment or something for a low price on a Saturday or whenever it may be, then they're more likely to take that up than something else if they're a floating fan or have a free afternoon. I think that's maybe the main problem Bournemouth would have. Like I said, they set up the £99 season ticket offer, but I think that can only go so far. And I think if you want to try and get people in regularly on a Saturday or whatever, you have to look at reducing the prices. And I know, as you said, and I agree with you, you have to try and be sustainable as a club, etc. And obviously Danny Hunter puts a lot of money in himself. They have a very healthy relationship with Arsenal, where the Arsenal women's team play there. But you almost feel, well, maybe if they subsidised the cost, put some of the money maybe that they put into the playing budget in subsidising the cost of the ticket prices, maybe that might go in some way to helping people turn up. Obviously, you know, that might come at an impact of the quality on the pitch. But again, these are all things you have to weigh up. You know, building a new stand's fantastic, and the facilities there have improved year on year. But if there's no one there to actually stand on the terraces or sit in the stands, then you almost sort of wonder what the point is, to put it bluntly. You know, I am a big advocate of making facilities appropriate and having stadiums and grounds where people want to go because it's nice. You just feel maybe, you know, is the improving the ground to such an extent that necessary for the club without the supporter base there at the moment? Obviously, you know, going back to the example of Salford, they developed their ground, and subsequently there are a lot of people going to their games on a weekly basis, and it's not a case of build it and they'll come. You know, they've built that fan base up, or at least have attracted floaters by making it accessible with their pricing.
Yeah, and on a similar note, I believe you've been to Haringey this week, another club that have struggled for crowds, and then they had a great FA Cup run last year. But I know I was talking to Aki, the chairman, at the annual dinner about the constant struggle. They're still trying to engage with that local community and bring people in.
Yeah, it was a really fascinating chat with Tom Lazoo, the Haringey manager there. He obviously, they had a great season last year, getting to the FA Cup first round, where they played AFC Wimbledon at home, and it was the big sort of TV game on BBC, and they also got to the playoffs as well and just missed out. And it was really interesting talking to him sort of about the business side of the club and how the club works, really. He said that the money they got from the FA Cup, they reinvested in the facilities. And he was saying how, you know, the season tickets there are free for their home fans, which has really built up the fan base. And basically anything they earn from football, they put back into the club. His budget, which isn't the biggest, comes from a market that they run, and he sells sort of you know, like the market stores where people can come and sell things, basically, and that's how sort of he gets the money for his playing budget. You know, and again, that's the sort of club that try to invest, like Bournemouth have done, and try to invest in their facilities, but they also at the same time make it accessible for people to come, you know, with that free season ticket offer that they have. You know, they only effectively get money from away fans that turn up.
Yeah.
And of course, they've got the 3G pitch there as well, which helps. And again, is another investment that they've made. The FA Cup money, they've invested it in a car park next to the ground, which Spurs fans make a lot of use from on home games. Obviously, the club is based in Tottenham, and with the new Spurs stadium going up, they it's a good way for the club to make money down that avenue.
Yeah, it's an interesting look at how different clubs are bringing in different revenue streams. You know, we started talking about, you know, getting more fans through the doors, but it is all about different revenue streams and trying to make sure that that a club becomes self-sufficient, both on the field and off the field. So obviously there'll be an article in this weekend's paper about that. What else can we expect in Sunday's non-league paper?
Well, Matt Badcock went down to Eastbourne to speak to Steve King, who's currently out of management at the moment. He obviously took Welling to the semi-finals of the National League South last season, or actually to the final of the National League South, where they lost to Woking. And, yeah, really interesting
chat there, I think Matt had with Steve King, all about management and his career and sort of non-league football in general, really. Obviously, he's such an experienced manager around sort of the top couple of levels and below that with the likes of Farnborough and Lewis and Macclesfield. So that was a really interesting chat. Obviously, we've got all the usual match action as well from steps 1 to 6, step 3 and 4 tables and results and attendances and all that thing, all those things as well.
So plenty to get up for on a Sunday morning, and then even more football on a Monday.
Yeah, that's right. We were saying it's been a quiet week. Maybe that's because we're building up to this this bank holiday weekend. You know, the games have been sort of ticked off quickly in this month, and you always look at bank holiday weekends in the season. You know, whether it's later on in the campaign or early on, it's a very quick chance to pick up points. You know, if you can get two wins quickly on the board this weekend, it can very much sort of catapult your season, really, and kickstart yourselves if maybe you've had a bit of a slow start. So another important weekend all round in the non-league pyramid.
Well, good stuff. Thanks for joining us, David, and we look forward to reading all about it in Sunday's paper.
Brilliant. Thanks very much, Tim.
That's it for this week. A big thank you to Caroline and to Dave for being with me. A big thank you to all of our guests, and a big thank you to all for listening. Don't forget you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. And Dave Anderson is on at DaveAnderson78. And Caroline, who is at Caroline Barker, and myself at Tim Fuel. Plus, you can, of course, find us every week on Audio Boom, on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Thank you and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA